Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paweł Wieprzowski, and I'm immensely pleased to welcome you to the third quarter conference call with Astarta's management. Today, the company is represented by Mr. Wiktor Iwańczyk, CEO, Mr. Wiktor Glatki, CFO, as well as Mrs. Julia Bereszenko, Director for Business Development and IR. Gentlemen, please go ahead.
Thank you, Paweł. We would like to go quickly through our key results, and we start with discussion of our P&L. On the top line, you can see that we registered an increase in the total revenue, and that was on account of revenue growth in the sugar, soybean processing, cattle farming. Although in the agriculture, there was a dip, which was related to us selling the remains of the last year's harvest, which was a lower number overall for Ukraine and for us. On the profitability side, we can see doubling of our margins on the gross profit and EBITDA level. Part of this growth is related to the biological assets revaluation. At the time of issuing our financials, we had our key crops still in the ground, which is sugar beet, corn, soybeans, and some flower seeds. However, in the agricultural segment, you will also see that we basically harvested the oil seeds, sunflower and soybeans, and we already report our final numbers. This allows us to double our EBITDA from 81 million euro to 158.59. And if we strip the accounting effect of IAS 41 of biological assets, we also see our margin widening from 26%-29% at the EBITDA level. Now, if we switch to the brief overview of our cash flows and balance sheet, our cash flows, operating cash flows before working capital changes were stable, same as last year, around 50 million euro. We managed to keep our CapEx at maintenance level of around 10 million euro. The number which is asterisked in the table, which is a positive number, is a result of us divesting of a few assets related to old sugar plants in the first half of this year. Therefore, this number was positive. Our CapEx and cash flows allowed us to keep a low leverage, which on the net debt to EBITDA level was lower than one, although our land lease liabilities slightly increased. The financial debt, mostly to banks, was at the stable level of around 30 million euros. Now, if we go into our segment results, as I just explained, our sunflower and soybeans were still registered as biological assets on our accounts as of 9 months. However, we have finished the harvesting the crop, and you can see our final yield of 2.7 for sunflower seeds and soybeans at 3 tons per hectare, which is much higher than last year, and also traditionally higher than the Ukrainian average. We are still in the process of harvesting corn and sugar beets, and we hope that we will report our final numbers later this year. But 9 months results related to the agricultural segment can be seen on the right-hand side of this slide. And it is obviously affected by the calculation of the biological assets. Slide number 6 I'm sure that you follow the soft commodities global developments as in detail as we do. We see that the prices remain favorable for us, and the temporary situation where corn prices were higher than wheat prices from Ukraine reversed into a more normal situation. And we still see the upside in relation to corn and sunflower as well as winter wheat for the next marketing year. In sugar production, as we announced with our 6 month results, we were focused on processing sugar, raw cane sugar, which we imported in the amount of 75,000 tons. We produced 73,000 tons of white sugar from raw cane sugar, and this process finished by September. And since mid-September, we are already producing white sugar from the new harvest of sugar beet, and up to date, the amount is over 152,000 tons. Our financials were affected by the price growth. The average price growth on our revenue line was around 60% for the key product sugar, and that allowed us to double our gross profit and EBITDA margins from 17% to 31% and from 15% to 27%. Now looking at the situation in the Ukrainian market, although there was a recent dip in the local prices for sugar in Ukraine, they still remain at a large premium to global benchmarks, such as raw sugar and white sugar in London. We expect the harvest of sugar beet to be higher in Ukraine this year. According to public sources, up to 33 sugar mills will be in operation during this season, which started in September. And the output is forecast at 1.4 million tons, but we also see there might be a potential for a higher number. As of today, the amount of sugar produced by the whole sector was just 850,000 tons. Soybean processing is the next segment that we show results for the 9 months. Unfortunately, the price rally for soybeans was much higher than the price growth for the key product soybean meal, 51% versus 27%, and the price growth for soybean oil, which was reaching nearly 1,000 euros per ton, was not sufficient to offset the price growth for raw materials. And that resulted in the margin squeeze, the gross level from 14% to 7%, and a similar squeeze at the EBITDA level from 9 to 5%. However, we expect a much higher harvest of soybeans in Ukraine this year. As of beginning of November, Ukraine already reported a higher harvested crop on the basis of 90% of the planting area than for entire 12 months of last year. There is a new development in the soybean segment that we have already reported to the market. We included a short slide outlining our investment that we are planning in this area. This is a $50 million plant, which will be an addition to to our soybean crushing facilities in Globin of the Poltava region. Currently, the plant produces two key products, which is meal and oil, and the new line will allow us to further process soybean meal into higher protein concentrate for feed purposes. These new facilities, which will require around 2 years to build, will allow us to diversify into a higher value-added product and also have flexibility between the volumes that we process into the concentrate versus the volume of soybean meal that we are producing now. This facility was studied together with multinational financial institutions in Ukraine, which sponsored detailed technical marketing feasibility studies. The project also falls under the auspices of favorable treatment by Ukraine Invest, which is an initiative by the Ukrainian government to give certain tax holidays, including on the corporate income tax and duty-free imports of required equipment. And we are working with the Ukrainian government to make it even a more attractive investment from a financial point of view with their assistance. This product is unique for Ukraine. It hasn't been produced before. And the biggest market we see for it is in Europe. The feed concentrate can be addition to the meal for livestock, poultry, and aquaculture. We believe that it has a multiple sustainable benefits. If it is used for feeding fish, which is farmed in Europe, it will reduce consumption of fish meal, which is much more favorable for the biodiversity, as well as it has a better calorific value in terms of economic efficiency of aqua farming. Also, the byproduct of soybean processing into the concentrate molasses can be used if we blend it with the byproducts of sugar production at our biogas facility, therefore producing green energy for us. The last segment we traditionally discuss is cattle farming. We can see a slightly higher volume of production of milk while the head count of herd remains stable, and this is because we are still focusing on higher productivity of milk production from each cow, which increased from 21 to 22.5 liters per head in the 9 months this year compared to last year, and pricing environment for premium quality milk, the one that we produce, also remains favorable to us. What was affecting our results in the 9 months was also the cost side, feed. Growing cost of feed, which are affected by the price increases for soft commodities, increased our costs, and we that resulted in a 2 million euro negative revaluation of the biological assets. But even taking into account this number, which is non-cash in nature, our EBITDA remains stable at 5 million euros. Our strategy and outlook hasn't changed. We regularly update it on an annual basis, so we will be able to discuss it in more detail with our annual results, but we did update it for our new project in soybean processing. This is all for our main part of the presentation. Obviously, there are appendices with more detailed numbers. You are welcome to ask us questions.
Thank you.
Operator,
if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind at any time, please press star two to remove the question. But as a reminder, it's star followed by one to ask any questions today.
If I may start, I have two quick questions to you, Julia. First of all, thank you so much for the presentation discussion on the reported figures. Could you please shed some light on your considerations regarding soft commodities prices in the upcoming season and in 2022? And also, could you please comment on the sugar prices in Ukraine, which seems to stay at a pretty decent level, despite the fact of the news flow regarding the this year's sugar beet harvest? Could you please comment on these?
On the soft commodities pricing outlook, we still believe there is an upside to the current prices because of the seasonality, and we are in the middle of harvesting in Ukraine for corn. The prices traditionally soften a little bit, but in the next 12 months, we believe that there will be a demand pressure for corn out of Ukraine, and the final harvest numbers may not be as they are predicted currently. Globally, there is, because of the energy price spikes, there is a higher demand for bioethanol and corn, significant amount of corn stocks, especially in the US, are being converted into energy as opposed to food production, which makes it an attractive environment for Ukrainian produced corn for food purposes, for human consumption. So we believe that the prices for corn will still be increasing. We also believe that a similar situation related to supply could play out in Ukraine for the next marketing season, because of the early cold and dry conditions in Ukraine. We believe that the planting area under winter wheat perhaps will be smaller next year. So the crop, the harvested crop in the next marketing season for winter wheat could be lower, which could support the prices. And this is also true for corn in terms of the planting area, because fertilizer prices are also increasing quite steeply. Many independent farmers may choose to reduce their planting area on the corn in favor of sunflower seeds and soybeans. Therefore, corn acreage could be up to 10% lower next year in Ukraine than it is projected now.
And sugar prices?
Sugar prices reversed, they reversed into growth again. And that is not related to the supply side, but on the cost side, because natural gas prices are rather high in Ukraine. The producers have to keep their prices higher to cover the cost, and that determined the pricing trend in the last few weeks.
I see. So since you mentioned the energy costs spike that we have experienced recently, could you please elaborate a bit on the expected margins of profitability for the next season, take into consideration the current level of gas prices, fertilizers, etc.?
It's still difficult to predict because natural gas prices in Ukraine are extremely volatile. Recently, the quotes were approaching 38,000 hryvnia. Now they almost halved. So a lot depends on the timing of procurement and the volume. Overall, for the sugar producing sector, there was a public article yesterday. Association of Sugar Producers calculated that the average cost increase for sugar production in Ukraine could be as high as 40% higher than previous year. However, taking into account that we are the largest producer in Ukraine, we can control our costs much tighter. Our increase will be lower.
Lower, you mean like 20-30% year-on-year spike, or just 35?
Well, we obviously will have the final numbers after we finish production of sugar, but definitely not 40%, closer to 20-30% range that you indicated.
Okay, perfect. That's all from us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We now have a question on the line from Marcin Nowak from OPMR Securities. So, Marcin, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question and for the presentation. Just maybe quick follow-up for the gas prices impact on sugar prices. Do you see a difficulty from sugar producers in transferring higher gas prices onto sugar price, given still the local price being at the premium, at the significant premium to the global benchmarks as of now?
Yes, we believe that the sugar beet processors will be passing along the course of the higher natural gas price. In fact, the sugar producers in Ukraine collectively wrote a letter to the government of Ukraine asking for assistance in relation to higher natural gas price situation in Ukraine. Obviously, although the government may not have the financial means to subsidize every sector which depends on natural gas in Ukraine, they certainly should be accommodative in their policies and understanding why the sugar prices in Ukraine are quite high. And they do look at the cost of production. We do have a dialogue with appropriate government officials regarding the reasons why the sugar price is high in Ukraine.
Okay, great. And besides natural gas prices, do you see any other cost inflation in the sugar production segment? For instance, the cost of first-party sugar beet?
Sugar beet prices are linked to the end product prices because some of the sugar mills and some of the sugar beet growers in Ukraine still do non-cash tolling processing of sugar beet into sugar. There is always a direct link between the sugar price and the price of the sugar beet related to it.
Okay, so taking into consideration jointly gas prices, sugar beet, could you quantify the potential increase in sugar production cost base in relative basis versus last year?
We are not through the production season yet. All we can say that our results, both in the agricultural segment and in the sugar processing segment, are recorded on an economic basis. So the EBITDA that we get from growing sugar beet will be fully reflected in our agricultural results, while EBITDA, which is related just to processing of sugar beet at arm's length prices, will be recorded in the sugar production segment. So once we finish sugar making season, in the next few weeks, there will be final results. But as indicated before, the impact of higher natural gas prices together with higher sugar beet prices, may lead to cost increase by 20% to 30%, and we'll see what the final number is soon.
Okay, thanks. And regarding fertilizers, has Astarte already secured fertilizers for 2020 campaign?
As one of the largest companies, we obviously procure higher volumes, and we have to do it earlier. As of to date, we secured sufficient volumes for the spring planting and also for additional fertilizer application for our winter crops, rape season, winter wheat.
Okay, and last question from my side. Could you please comment on trading operations and how much of third quarter reported volume originated from own volumes and how much from trading volumes? And what was the margin in trading?
Just 1 second. Around 120,000 tons were purchased from third-party farmers under our forward and trading program this year so far. But obviously, we are still in the middle of harvesting.
And margin-wise, do you see positive margin on these third-party volumes?
We have a positive margin, but it's in the single digit in terms of US dollar per ton.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now have our next question from Jakub Sinopek from Erste Bank. So, Jakub, please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations with the results. I've got a few questions. The first one is what I see from the news flow from Ukraine, that some of the players, like four sugar plants, they already switched off. Do you think that these numbers that you put in the presentation of the supply of sugar for 2022 season would be in danger? What is your figure? What is more probable figure for the supply of sugar in 2022?
Just 1 second. We are translating your question into Ukrainian, and then we'll switch back. Sorry.
To repeat the question, or
No, it's fine. We just take time to discuss it internally in Ukraine, and we'll come back. Just a second.
Yeah. Sure.
We still believe that the amount of sugar production this year will be north of 1.4 million tons because the largest processors of sugar beets, such as ourselves, are still in the full swing. So those sugar plants which already finished processing, there are small scale. The largest players are still at full operation.
Okay, and the question is, could you just tell us what's your like purchase price of natural gas like till now? What have you contracted? And what I understand, you did not bought the natural gas like before, like it was in the last season that you were like buying in the first half of the year.
Obviously, we don't contract the whole volume at the same price, you may appreciate, especially in today's situation when the prices are really volatile. As I mentioned, the quotes were as high as 38,000 hryvnia per 1,000 cubic meters, and that's not the price that we would contract. We would time and find quotes at a lower level. Also, we managed to contract lower priced volumes early in the season because the volume that we need is much higher than for other players. So different volumes were at different price, but generally everything was below 30,000, was closer to 20, and what the blended result will be, we will see only after we finish all the processing.
Okay, and the last like technical question, when do you plan to stop the sugar campaign? When do you want to switch off all the sugar plants? In December?
Out of five sugar mills, two will finish production only at the end of December.
Okay. And
the other three will finish earlier.
Okay. And the last question about this unit cost in the crops segment in third quarter, it went up like much from the second quarter and year-to-year basis. Could you explain a little bit on that? What was happening? Is it a thing of a certain crop or rather the whole basket is growing in terms of the costs?
Are we talking about agricultural segment results?
Exactly.
Which segments are agriculture?
Agriculture. I mean, the unit cost was above 7,000 hryvnias per ton, while last year it was a little bit higher than 5,000, so quite a big, like 50% increase in unit cost.
If we are looking at the screen now, can you pinpoint which particular number you would like us to explain?
When I divide the cost of this segment, the agriculture segment, by the volume that you sold in this quarter, the number is like much higher than it was last year and in the previous quarter, and that's why I am asking, what happened? Did you trade much more by third party grains or you suffered from increase in the inputs to this agriculture?
Majority of increase is related to the biological assets You see, we sold volumes. If we are talking about corn, the volumes related to the previous year's harvest and the previous year's cost. Wheat is already this year's harvest, and the remaining costs are still accounted for as non-cash items in our P&L and related to this year's cost. And this year's cost were slightly higher, this is true, but not by much. Just to give you an example, for example, for soybeans, which we already harvested, but it's still registered as a non-harvested crop under biological assets, the costs were up by 7%. The cost estimate for example, corn, the cost were, estimated costs are up by 6%. So there is a blend of sunk costs from the previous harvest and increased costs from the new harvest, which are registered in the same P&L line, but overall costs for 9 months related to the new harvest in relation to last year are up by less than 10%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you a lot for the answers.
Thank you. We now have the next question from Ragim Kamrouz from Earnest Asset Management. So, Ragim, please go ahead when you're ready. I've just opened your line.
Hello. Good afternoon. Just to clarify a couple of things, maybe can you just comment on the operating cash flow from year to year, 2020 versus 2021, because there is a major change in working capital. So what actually happened last year versus this year, and that there is such a difference in the working capital changes? Thanks.
There was a change in our commercial sales policy. I think we mentioned it before. So the amount of stocks that we had on our balance sheet at the end of 2020 was much lower. So right now we sell our harvest faster and we have a working capital movement which reflects this.
Okay, and when I look at the average prices that you have realized, it is the average for 9 months, but could you comment on the current prices? Are they close to, let's say, if I look at page number 5, you show average corn prices, 160 euro per ton, and on the other page, number 6, the price is around 200. So is it still that you will be reaching these prices only for fourth quarter next year, or when should we expect these realized prices to move up?
There is always a timing delay between this the spot prices and forward prices. Customary to Ukraine, agricultural producers pre-sell half of their harvest at the time of planting to have flexibility to sell at higher or other spot prices later during the season. So yes, we expect our prices to be higher for corn and other harvests that we are still in the process of harvesting at the moment, and we still have flexibility in terms of prices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so an order the fourth quarter again should see an increase in the average prices.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. The realized prices for the 9 months reflect our corn sales related to last year's harvest rather than this year's harvest.
Yep, I see. And this relatively large biological asset, revenue or income, does this incorporate, let's say, the full expected harvest for already 2021, or you still have to wait for it to be finished and this number going to possibly change? Is it a risk that it could go down, or is it more likely it should go up?
Right. Biological asset is a non-cash estimate of the entire harvest at expected prices minus cost of sales and the cost of production. So our estimates for four key crops which are growing in the ground, namely sugar beet, sunflower, corn, and soy. These are calculated at expected yields and prices and costs. However, we can already say that this calculation was based on the estimate of sunflower and soybean yields, which already has become a fact. So we do not expect any change from our estimate, because we already harvested and we reported the exact yields that we reflect on slide number 5. With regards to sugar beet and in relation to corn, these two crops still remain in the ground. We are in the process of harvesting, and these are still estimates. We expect them to be much higher than last year's harvest. We expect corn yields to be north of 8 tons per hectare. We expect sugar beet harvest to be much higher than last year, but the final numbers will follow in December.
Understood. But when you do the estimates, do you approach it conservatively, or the final numbers could differ? I mean, especially, is there a big risk that there could be like a downward revision, or you think that you're pretty safe with these fair values?
We believe that we are pretty safe right now, because, as I said, out of four crops, two, sunflower and soybeans, already harvested, and they already transferred to the stocks on our balance sheet. It didn't happen as of 9 months, but in reality, they already moved. So there is only uncertainty related to two crops, which is sugar beet and corn. And the yield and price estimates are already quite reliable at this stage of harvesting. So usually when we have a change in the estimates, it usually happens between 6 months and 9 months results. After 9 months, we don't have significant changes, because we are very close to the final harvest numbers.
Mm-hmm. Understand. Just last question. Your CapEx levels still remain pretty low, and you announced this $15 million USD investment. Can you maybe comment on that? What kind of investment, how long or when it should be done, and what should be the CapEx for, I don't know, next 2-3 years, and what could be the financial impact of this investment, this 50 million, let's say, on your EBITDA level? Thanks.
The maintenance CapEx is at the level of 20 million, give or take, per year. That also includes the replacement of the machinery in the agricultural segment, which is a 5-year replacement program we started last year. So we are in year 2 and 3 years more to go. The remaining assets do not require extensive maintenance for the reason that soybean plant is relatively new, but there is an additional investment of $50 million, and it goes into the new plant, the plant which was built in 2016 does not require big investment. This is still the case. The plant is still 5 years old. Cattle farming is not a very capital intensive industry, and most of the livestock well-being and other projects in this area are related, mostly can be expensed. This is about the housing conditions for cows, this is about air conditioning or special mattresses for the animals to feel comfortable, and feed, the quality feed. Most of these items are related to costs. They are expensed as they occur. They are not capex items in a big sense. So this is a couple million per year. Our sugar production facilities, although they are not new, there was significant capex in the previous years. Last couple of years, CapEx was manageable at couple million euros, but back in 2018, that was around 10 million euros. We may have to invest a little bit more in the upgrade, but these are not double-digit numbers that may affect your projections.
Thanks for the explanation. But this 50 million, for how long is it the CapEx plan will be spread out?
2 years.
2 years. So it's starting next year?
We have to finish our design work, which might take some time. It would be safer to see this investment over 2 years, starting from beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm. And your estimate in terms of, let's say, an EBITDA contribution from this new investment?
Obviously, this is difficult to make projections which are 3 years away from production. At the current assumptions for costs and the product prices, we believe that we can double our EBITDA in margin by switching partially or entirely to the new product, the soybean concentrate, but we are still 3 years away from the actual production, so it's difficult to give any firm numbers here.
Okay, thanks very much for the answers.
Thank you. We now have a question. Natalia Spitskotska from Dragon Capital. So, Natalia, I've opened your line.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on the great results, and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions on the farming operations. You've just mentioned company assumes at least this year's corn yield of about 8 tons per hectare, if I understood correctly. At the same time, company is still optimistic about the corn price outlook for Ukraine, as Ukraine's harvest may come up not as big as expected. Could you please elaborate a little bit if if you have any concerns with regards to current yield assumptions or companies safe about its own projections, but other regions of Ukraine may suffer with lower than expected yield. Thank you.
We expect our yield to be higher than 8 million tons, that is true. But since we are also involved not only in growing our crops in-house, but also purchasing corn and other crops from third parties, and offering grain and oilseed storage and handling services to third farmers, we have a slightly less optimistic view on the total amount of corn produced by Ukraine. We think that 38 million tons is probably very optimistic, and it should be closer to 35. Therefore, the exports out of Ukraine will be slightly higher than 20 million tons, and given that more and more U.S. corn is being processed for ethanol purposes, we believe that the pricing environment will remain favorable for Ukrainian corn.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Thank you very much. And also one follow-up on the winter crops, please. Could you please comment if company has completed its winter sowing for next year's harvest, and what are conditions of the winter crops given the drought observed in October in Ukraine? Thank you.
Our winter wheat planting area is around 56,000 hectares, and we believe that current condition is quite good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask any further questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. We have had no questions registered, so we'll hand it back to the management team to close.
Well, on behalf of Astarta and Wood & Company, I wanted to thank you for your participation in today's call. And hope to speak to you next year during the fourth quarter conference call. Have a great afternoon. Stay safe.